Welcome everyone to another episode of Classroom to Staffroom. I'm joined by my co-host Jodie Epier.
How are we all?
I'm Miles O'Kane, and we look forward to taking you all along for the ride. Week three, my man, here we go. Up and running, wins and losses for the week so far.
A couple of wins, one with the Year 7 group. They just seem the structure in the class is a lot better. They understand their role, what they have to do, so it's just teaching them how I wanted them to be. They got there, so that's really good.
Very good, very good. Is there a fear? I haven't taught Year 7 for years, mate, on purpose. They're an energy level onto themselves. Is it all fear the first couple of weeks with the Year 7s coming across? Or is it opposite? Are they all the staunchness coming in these days?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. I think they're trying to find out where they fit in the pecking order. But they also got to remember that they're not the alpha in the room, and you just always got to establish your authority in the sense that what's the whole purpose of having this class. So the sevens have really stepped up to that. They've understand what their role is. They understand that they're trying to do their best. I do have a couple of kids that still bring the primary school sort of attitude of the, choose me. So yeah, I've got one kid in there, and I've told him on numerous occasions that he talks too much, just trying to get him to know that he doesn't have to keep talking.
Did he realise he talked too much?
Oh, I think, according to some of the kids who went to the primary school with him, yeah, they say so, he's talked like that all the time. So I see it just constantly saying to him, having to readjust him all the time, you know, stop. You don't have to call out. You don't have to make that sound. So just constant retraining.
I spun out, man. I can't. Are Year 7s getting smaller these days?
Yeah,
way
smaller.
Year 12s, and they were filing up in the canteen somewhere. I was like, is it transitioned for primary school already? Like, I didn't realise it was the Year 7s had come. All very enthusiastic and positive, which was good to see. I was like, whoa, this is crazy. Mate, I chalked up a loss for the week. Yeah. Loss being that I took off either Monday, Tuesday this week, full of enthusiasm after school, had a good day. About 50 minutes down from the school, was at the red lights. And my car is a black car, and it feels like it just sits in the sun all day, so it feels like an oven. So I had the windows down, had a decent song come on my Spotify playlist. Was mouthing the words pretty hard. I look over, thinking no one's seeing me, to my right, and see two of my Year 11 students looking directly at me. As I'm about my fourth word in, they gave me the wink. As like, sir, we've got you. You're never going to live this down.
Yeah.
Thought, cool, couldn't get much worse. And then the light goes green, and about 30 metres down the road, and student from last year came running past my car with his shirt off and backpack on.
Yeah.
And I went, it's good to be back. I laughed.
Oh, look, I'll tell you what, as long as you weren't air guitaring at the same time, man, you're all good.
It was moments away. Was considering my live act.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking being early in the year might be beneficial to talk about ways to deal with challenging student behaviour. I think we've all been around for a bit now, have a bit of experience. I think maybe I've got a few situations there that we can look at, maybe just go through how we would approach it. What do you reckon?
Yeah, that sounds good. And I think when you look at anything regarding behavioural, it's always going to be depending on the type of teacher you are as well. So that aspect is going to be one variable that may change depending on each teacher. Like, for example, I've worked with teachers, mate, and I've worked with this one lady all of 5 foot nothing. Ooh-wee, you would not dare to fart in her class. Yeah, that's how much authority she had in her classroom. Like, wow.
What do you think of the main, before we get into the questions, what do you think of the main characteristics that make strong behaviour management? They learnt skills, or is it more of a character as a person?
I think it's a combination. I think it's just the way you hold yourself, the way that you invite the kids into your class. I think for me personally, one of the big things is that I always set the tone or set the atmosphere. If the kids are coming in too rowdy, I'll restart them.
Yes.
I'll meet them at the door. I'll explain to them what I want from them. Click this, click that, sit down, whatever else. But if a kid wanders in making too much noise, I always re-correct that straight away, and I may even send the whole class back out and tell them, right, come back in again. You send them out once, they will quickly learn, oh, we don't walk into a class making so much noise.
I agree. But I think you're right, though, as well. I think it's those first 5 minutes of the lesson can be critical, and I'm very much on that as well for a lower school class. Meet them at the door and then just on them with instructions. It's very militant. But it's just making sure there's no leeway, chance for anyone to go anywhere. Yeah. But then you set them up, and then I can get into what I need to deliver for the lesson.
Yeah.
I'm not talking over people.
That's right.
But I think it does, there is, you know, I still need to explicitly teach that stuff to a new class and show them this how we, you, I mean, you're training them in a way.
Yes.
This is how we behave. And when I speak, everyone's listening. So we're not sitting here for half an hour going over the same thing. And usually the kids, they respond to it, but it is the consistency to work with. I think for me, with behaviour management, obviously the rapport's the big thing. I think consistency we talked about. I think you need to build that trust with the student as well.
Yep. Yep.
Patience is a big one as well. I think remaining cool, calm and collected,
yeah.
Especially in more trickier classes and more trickier schools. All the kids want to do, or the students want to do for the first couple of lessons is just see if they can break you.
That's right.
And they're experts. They may not be experts at curriculum at the time, but they're experts at reading teacher behaviour and reading the room.
Yes.
And they just want to see how you react. And I mean, there's times that, like, I definitely feel like I'm biting down on the mouthpiece in class. The kids don't know that, but it's just going to sort of eke it out and go, I'm going to sit there, I'm going to win this battle.
Yeah.
And if I don't, there's going to be follow-up. You know, and we're going to butt heads for a while, but once you push through that, it does come better.
Oh, absolutely. I look what the word you touched on for me is the consistency.
Mm.
Like, I think if a student can see that you're consistent irrespective of who the student's in the room,
mm-hmm.
they respect that and they quickly understand, all right, this is where the line is. I look at how you meet people at the door.
Yep.
I do the same, so there's no misinterpretation.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the cool things that I like seeing right now is that I've told my boys, you come in after the girls. So they let my girls come in first, and like I watched another boy hold another boy back who obviously forgot, and literally just put his hand across the front of him to hold him and say, wait. And they said, the girls go first.
Is that to teach chivalry? Or
yeah,
that just,
chivalry.
Geez, that's good, yeah?
It is. It's one of
those. How did the boys first respond to that?
Oh, like, because I told them, look, it's something that's died. It's something you don't see a lot of anymore.
Yeah.
But we've got to bring it back. We have to bring that sort of stuff back because you as young men, as you guys get older, you've got to learn this stuff. And if no one's teaching you, you're going to treat girls like, oh, well, you can do whatever. But you've got to learn that this is how men used to treat a lot of their, well, not before, but even now. It's a common thing, but you don't see it often in young people.
No, not at all.
So, yeah.
And you're right, man. I think especially if it's a year 7 age group, to get them in that young of an age,
yeah.
Can only be positive for society.
That's it.
And this is what people who don't teach don't understand. It's not just teaching curriculum.
Yeah.
Like, you're sitting there, you're teaching life skills as well.
Oh, that's a big one.
And you're trying to do the best for everyone. It's not just about the 12 weeks holidays or whatever they think it is. Like, there's just a lot going on every time.
That life skill that you're saying, sometimes that life skill opportunity pops up,
mm-hmm.
Just spontaneously, and you've got to captivate and jump on it, because it's not just curriculum that the kids need to be fed, but it's also all these life skills that spontaneously appear.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to really hammer those parts home, because those are what the kids also remember. They'll go, oh wow, I remember this. So yeah, I think there's something in that, just reading the room, setting the atmosphere, consistency,
yep.
Having your presence to the point where it's that fine line of, in my opinion, having presence to impose, but at the same time being friendly enough that they can feel comfortable and safe to come into your room. And it's trying to find that real...
It's a constant balancing act, isn't it? and it's not just, like, there's a lot of different personalities as well, yeah. And it changes from class to class,
yeah.
And you're constantly readjusting how you fight every battle,
yeah.
And where can I push this student in a certain way? I can't push. If I do this, this is going to happen. So you're constantly playing chess.
Yes.
As you're trying to deal with kids, as you're trying to teach curriculum. Never ending, my man, never ending.
I think just run real quickly, like, one of the other ones that I could notch up was, I had a particular class today, and the smell of my boys was quite pleasant. And I says to my boys, well done, boys. You guys got in there. You remembered, when you come to this room, you got to make sure you smell nice and... You know, and I said, the girls will appreciate it too.
Pep talk paid off, buddy. Jody O'Pierre, changing lives and hygiene, one step at a time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, so I've kind of, these are real sort of last minute, and if other stuff comes up, we'll deal with it from there.
Yeah.
So I've kind of divided them into low range, medium range, high range behaviour situations. So low range situations, situation one, students talking over teacher when they are trying to talk. What's your approach?
If a student tries to talk, I will always address the student. I will always address the situation. Even if it means I have to stop the class just to say, hold on a minute. And I use this quite often. I don't know if you've been taught, but if I'm speaking and you're speaking, one of us has been rude. And they'll be like, I said, yes. So you got to understand, when the teacher's trying to give an information or trying to give instruction, it's important to listen. And that there automatically convicts the student of like, oh, yeah, no, you're right. Yep. Because it's pretty hard to come back.
I think if they can relate it to a bigger picture as well, you're not just picking on me.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense for more sense for them as well. Yeah. I'm big on the stare these days.
Yes.
On the look. I'd been in my toolkit for a while. I hadn't been using it. And then now, teaching more lower school classes, just looking into them, like not making a big thing of it, but then maintaining eye contact. And then they think I've looked away, and they look away and come back. He's like, oh, he's still looking at me. This is getting awkward now. But just so, like, okay, this is, we're not accepting
this.
That's
a powerful one to stare.
Yeah, and it's just in the meantime, I'm looking right into your soul right now. Like, everyone's waiting for you. We can do this. But I think like that's any time I have tried to work with people in the past with behavior management, I always focus on the setup of the lesson. Because once they're in, you can every lesson train those skills.
Yes.
So this is where I'm going to start with. This is how I'm going to do it. And I think with the, yeah, like I've still got a signal. So it pens down eyes on me and I don't, who's talking over me? And I look around and most people come to it. Now, a difficult class, it takes a bit more time, but they seem to, they'll quiet down after a while as well and get back on track.
They catch on. They catch on quite quickly. And they see what others are doing, and others are usually, if they're focused, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, teachers want our attention. The stare is powerful. I use the stare as well as another technique that I use. And sometimes even just silence, when the teacher just stops talking, then all of a sudden the noise will go really quiet, and the kid that's still talking will go stop and check themselves and go, oh. So yeah, that still works.
Students not sitting in their assigned seating.
They got no choice.
This is where you sit. Yeah. You're in my class, where you doing it.
That's it. I always give them an option if they can prove me wrong. So if I notice that there's two kids that may be talkative, what I tend to do is I say, right, here's the options. If you can prove to me that you can work next to this person, awesome, I'm happy with it. But as soon as one of you are off task, you, sir, or you, young lady, will be moving over here. Simple, that's it.
I think it's definitely high. I'm big on setting plans, but I think, so if I look at a more challenging class, I don't come in first lesson and go, everyone's sitting here. I see how they go for the first week or two, and then I just gradually move students around. Yep. And that's a bit of trial and error as well. It might be these students aren't working together, and then I move them here. But generally over time, and then we'll be hard on it. So they'll try to come in and buck. So, no, you're sitting here. No, sitting here. Mm. Sitting here. And just keep those tight reins. And eventually they do fall into place. But I think those things are critical. Like those, along with the previous one, setting up those little things early in the lesson just makes everything flow so much quicker.
It does.
Students refusing to follow general instructions from a teacher.
I give them options. I usually give them an option. I said usually the one option is better than the other. And 9 times out of 10, if they are in control of their emotion, they will generally pick the better option.
Mm.
But if their emotion is controlling them, then they don't mind going to the other option, which unfortunately means that another person will have to remove them and so forth. But in general, I think most kids that I've had will generally move or will generally follow an instruction. It's also sometimes if the kid tries to dig their heels in, you can either address it, and I do address it sometimes. It depends on the situation.
Yeah.
You can either hit the nail on the head and go bang straight for the jugular on that one, or you can sort of, you know, talk to the whole class about what we expect.
Yes.
The expectations of the room.
I think the choice is the big one. I think it gives them accountability as well. Students just want to blame everyone else, but once they realise the choice is I can go here or here, then suddenly they're not backed into a corner. Like they're progressing down the path they're choosing.
That's right. Ultimately, it comes back to them. And 9 times out of 10, kids want to make the right decision.
I think so.
It's just that odd occasion where a kid just wants to dig in, keep face in front of friends, whatever else.
Yeah. You know? I think that's a big one as well, students maintaining face.
Yeah.
So it's not about here, look at me, going straight to a power struggle. We'll give you the options, and you've got the option to save face now, but if you don't do that, there's this option here as well.
That's right.
Wish we could walk down that path. Any more low situations?
I think that's the main one in regards to all three. I think it's just every situation you meet it with a different, depending on the severity of it or on how much energy that's coming in from it. And it also, you've also got to check yourself as a teacher. I think, how, if I react this way, what's the outcome? What's the possible outcome that you're probably going to get from it? You can come down hard on some kids, and some kids can take it, and then they will go, sorry, sir, da da da. And you can come down hard on some kids, and some kids crash and burn, back themselves into a corner and back right out. So you don't want to, you don't want to rip their soul out. You just want them to go, hey, check yourself, you know, ready to learn? Yep. Okay, sorry, sir. Okay, not a problem, let's go. But not, I think an important part of all of those three things is to not hold the grudge.
Yeah.
Is to allow that reset button to happen instantaneous right there and say, come on, let's go, let's go, keep going. And then if they keep trying pushing, then you obviously go to the next step and say, right, because of this, you're going to move you here or whatever else. But most times they sort of come back online.
Medium range situations, yep. Students swearing in class. Actually, that's what I was going to say before I go to that. I'm big on praising manners. I don't know why, but always if a student, like if I'm handing something out, thank you, no, thank you. And I think it's just them seeing that back.
Yep.
It helps create that positive energy as well.
It is.
Especially those, I don't know, I keep coming back to those more difficult classes where we're so used to being the bad boy or bad girls in the class. Yeah. When they see me praising someone else, they're like, wait, hold on. If he's doing it, then suddenly that's the role model in the class.
Yeah.
They start switching on as well.
That's a good one though, praising manners. And it's so nice when you hear it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not like a fake in the way that the kids say they use their manners. It's actually, thank you so much, sir. Like you have kids who leave the classroom and simply come up and say, thank you so much for the lesson, sir. It's genuine and you say that, you're welcome, you know, have a lovely day. That automatically, and as you say, when others hear that conversation, it's like, wow, look at this, this is how we meant to be.
Yep.
And hopefully they fall in line and say, even if they go, thank you, sir, that real short acknowledgement goes a long way because it shows their integrity, the student's integrity, that they enjoyed the lesson or that they tried.
Yep.
And it also shows that they have the respect for you by saying thank you very much, and then you reciprocating it straight back to them by saying you're welcome, you have a lovely day. It's so good. It's such a good thing.
So students swearing in class.
Yeah.
So not aggressive, not a teacher, just F that or this and that.
Yeah.
I don't appreciate it, and I pick up on it, but it's a battle at times as well.
Yeah.
And I think kids just sets the wrong tone and stuff. And the more kids give them an inch and they take a mile,
yeah.
I think the more you give it to them, the more they're going to take it as well.
Yeah.
I find lateness can be a tough one. Lateness to class. So just the 5 or 10 minutes late. And I think it's students know, obviously, when the time is, but it's then that creates that little, you've got the class set up, everything's perfectly, or everything's going in the right direction, and then old mate or old missus rocks up, and then suddenly, here I am.
Yeah.
I think that can be a tough one for teachers at times.
Oh, yeah.
What's your thoughts on that one? How do you handle it?
Oh, look, in regards to the lateness, I train my kids that no matter if they are late, and whether they've got a note or not, that they have to knock at the door. I wait to be invited in,
yep.
And they do. And then when they enter, I've taught them to say, always start with saying, I'm sorry for being late. What they, and I even say to the class, and every time someone is late, I'll even make it a learning moment at the same time for the whole class.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this is good, it sets the tone. Thank you so much for saying, apologising for being late.
Yep.
Just, and I'll quickly say, grab this, we're doing this, and I give a quick short instruction. I think the negative side with the lateness is when a kid is late, they miss out on so much instruction.
So much.
Yeah.
And it's a repetition. And then it's not fair on the other kids as well, because they see they put the effort to come in there early.
Yeah.
Like I had a class today, and three of the ladies in the class came really early. They were happy to be in class and sit down doing work. And then the rest of the class came in pretty soon after that. And there's two or three boys just struggling in the class, and suddenly all the attention's on them.
Yeah.
And like that's just, it's good that the social awareness from the other students pick up on as well.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we're here trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, I have kids who say sorry to me when they come through the door, they're late. I always apologise back to them to say, no, you're not late, young man, you're fine. Because I, because I'm there before them, they're assuming they're late.
Yep.
But because I'm already in the classroom, it's usually the ones after, say, 2-3 minutes.
Yep.
If you're late then yes, thank you for saying you're late. But I always say if a kid gets there within 3 minutes of the bell and they come in the door and say sorry for being late, I always say no, you're fine.
There is, I give a buffer zone as well, a couple of minutes, but if it's reasonable,
yep.
If they start to push that, then it's a consistency thing and follow up. I don't know whether to put this in the medium range or the low range, but the apathetic class, So the class just feels like it's drawing blood from a stone with education.
Yeah.
I find it is a lot of that. It is the energy you bring into the class. Like it almost feels like as a teacher, you're the showman in that class.
Yeah.
And the kids are doing your best to match your energy. Not necessarily a challenging behavior class, but just you constantly got to be trying to put in the work in to get them to do anything.
Yes.
And it kind of, I can see our teachers get drained with it at times. But I think a lot of these kids is probably where the work at times is probably either too hard for them or they've just missed too much school. So I think that can be a big thing, tailoring the work to their ability.
Yeah.
But I mean, teachers are responsible to you know, national curriculum and stuff, so that makes it tougher as well. But I think a lot of it in those classes comes down to the energy as a teacher. And yes. I think just with your expectations at time as well to go, okay, this is a class at the moment, not to lower expectation necessarily, but to obviously praise yourself for the low wins, or the lower stepping over the bar as well.
Yes, absolutely. Like that, what you just said is sometimes the bar may not be so high, but yet it's still higher than where it was, you know. So I think just the small wins. Example, we had a kid struggling to understand place value.
Yeah.
So at the end of the session, he understood. So we looked at, so what's the key, what's a little clue that we look for when placing these numbers into a place value?
Yep.
And one cool thing was that he picked up was on, he looked at the decimal and he thought, right, okay. And then I said, right, so what's on the left of the decimal? Then he'll figure that number, then he'll write the other numbers and so forth. And on the right-hand side, but in general times when he used to write it, he used to write the numbers anywhere that he thinks fits.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
So just simply looking at finding that the decimal point hasn't changed. The numbers to the left of the decimal go that way. Numbers to the right of the decimal. So just small wins. I think the small wins, you've got to also acknowledge them and praise them just as much as the big ones.
Yeah, and the positive reinforcement, but catch them doing the right thing. Because they're so easy to be written off, these classes can't do anything. Yeah. Suddenly they can actually feel like they're doing something.
Yeah.
That does generate some momentum at times as well.
I'm very methodical in regards to step-by-step processes.
Yeah.
And I do it and I write it on the board so that if a kid ever does get lost, I said, just go back to the step, have a look again.
Yeah.
So hopefully the step-by-step process allows them to go, oh, what did I miss? So again, let's go back to the first step. Let's see what the second step is. Now, even if they still don't understand, I'll redo it on the board to the point where, okay, you tell me, I'm now the student. You tell me, you're like teaching me what you know. So tell me what you know. And they go, oh, first you got to do this. I say, I'll do that. And then I'll muck up deliberately. And they go, no.
Mm-hmm.
So reversing the roles is good to help the kids who feel as though they struggle or haven't got anything out of the lesson.
Yep.
Because they feel empowered when they feel like they've taught the teacher something.
And that's the key, the empowerment's the key. And whatever the research, it's been out there for a while, but you learn most by teaching other people. And I find it in my life, when I don't know something, trying to help other people, so I've got to be right with my instruction. I was going around in circles. I think with the, so we're about to go into the high range situations, I think a lot of the high range situations comes down to the rapport the teacher has with the students.
Mm.
And if you have a good rapport, normally you're not going to get to the high range situations. But I think let's look at it. So say a teacher in that situation came to you or came to us for advice. What would you say? So swearing at a teacher, for me, it's a no-go. I think it should be automatic suspension and stuff like that. I think I'd cut that one off. Students who escalate quickly out of their zone of tolerance could be a tough one. I think it's those ones comes down to remaining cool, calm and collected.
Yep.
Most students, and it can be even, I consider myself quite good at behaviour stuff, but you can have off days as well and you have those students come in and not see what's going on. So I think teachers need to know that as well.
Yep.
It's going to happen. It happens to all of us. Yep. But just do your best to stay calm and collected. It may be, don't take attention to it as well.
Yes.
You know, if you can try to get the student outside of the room, if they dig in, it's almost like they're going to run it out of their system as well.
Yeah.
Now, you got to keep your class safe, keep everyone safe as well. Luckily, I've had to be called in to stop fights and stuff other classrooms, but I think you can get the situation out quickly.
Mm.
So do your best to move it on.
Yep.
That can be tough as well. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think in regards to the escalation part of students, I think if you're structured enough, if your room is safe enough for everyone to be in in a particular room and you understand and the students understand this is what you can and cannot do.
Yep.
Usually that's enough to stop any form of escalation. But you're constantly scanning, as a teacher, you're constantly scanning body language, just watching to see how, you know, you can see the kid who's off task, you can see the kid who's starting to get a little bit fidgety and so forth.
Yeah.
So there are little, you just give little tabs here and there to a student, you might drop a little word in, you know, how are you getting on with that? And then it sort of refocuses that kid to go, oh, yeah, I'm okay. So I do a lot of questioning just to check in. I check in with different students depending on their body language.
Yes.
I had a kid who I could tell his whole thing because his head was down. And I could tell that he didn't understand. And I simply said, do you understand? He goes, be honest. I said, be honest.
Yep.
And he goes, no, I don't say. I said, okay, that's cool. Don't worry about it. Let's go back to the start.
Yep.
So in regards to escalation, if you're structured enough, it's not to say that it's going to stop all escalation, because escalation can just happen just like that.
Yep.
But if you're structured enough in a room, it should be safe. But on the odd occasion that it may occur, I think, as you said, remove the escalation as quick as possible. Don't add fuel to the fire.
Yeah.
Try and de-escalate.
That's the big one.
Yeah. It keeps both parties safe.
Yeah. At the end of the day. Because it's definitely an energy situation.
Yeah.
And that to try and take the energy out of the situation is the way to it. And I think it's interesting that a lot of, in my experience, lower school, boys, men coming through, they're the ones that are looking to buck the system, but deep down they're craving those boundaries, those rules and regulations, and that consistency.
Yes.
I think once they have that, they feel, and you're right, like you said before, that they feel safe, it creates that safe environment, they know what to expect. So they're not preparing, you know, not the unknown's not freaking them out all the time.
And I think the flip side to that whole situation can also be on the teacher. It's very important that the teacher knows how to set that room up, because if a teacher doesn't establish these boundaries or these safety nets or whatever else they have, this atmosphere in the room, the teacher will dread having that class.
Yes. Yep.
So that's the total flip side to
And it is with the teacher as well. It's the doing the hard work early, so you're not doing it consistently all
that's
the
right.
time.
That's right.
You just get to a point where you're just tweaking it. So you do the hard work early on, and then throughout the year, just tweaking here and there.
I look at the way we got our dogs trained, and he mimicked the bite of a mother dog biting the pups. And what the mother dog does is that it just nips the pup to say, hey, hold on, get back into line, this is what we're doing.
Yep.
So I think when I'm going around, I'm trying to be like that. Hey, hold on, check yourself. Thank you very much. Move on.
Yep.
It's that sort of little bit of mentality and behind that thing. Just making the kids accountable for their actions, putting them back into check, allowing themselves to check themselves, and then saying, well done, let's keep going.
I agree, man. I'm a firm believer, instead of doing all these behaviour management courses, just find a way to subsidise pet training. Like, give people pets. Because it is like I find that training dogs, like a lot of it relates to it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're not sitting there putting shoes on leads and stuff, but you are having those consistent behaviours as we're working through.
Training puppies, mate.
Training puppies. I did laugh when I walked out of class the other day and you were saying that. I was like, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. That was a good little episode, that one. Any concluding remarks?
Oh, all I can say is, like, for everyone who are not in the teaching, just understand that it is a balancing act. It actually is. You've got all these things happening all at the same time. Taking into account every student is different, taking into account the day, the time of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many variables that come into making this awesome pie or awesome cake, whatever you want to call it, and you just got to make sure the balance is right. You know, you can't be too heavy on one end or you can't be too light on one end. It's that whole just keeping everything in balance.
I'm big on just teachers being good to themselves at the moment. I think there's just so much going on in the teaching world.
Oh, yeah.
Just if you're doing an honest day's work and continue rocking up, just take pride in that.
That's right.
And just keep.
Yeah, I think it's so hard to keep your head above the water when some people think that they're not doing a good job, but you got to realise that if you're showing up and you're wanting to make a difference in kids' lives, that's a win right there. Be happy in
that. And that's you're right. That's what should be drawn back to all the time. You're doing better for the greater good. All right, that's a wrap. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next episode.
Thank you.